Hello.
First time I'm needed it.
Amanda, that is cookies, yes.
Followed by ejecting Darren from the island.
Sorry, guys.
I got the things.
I am the island bitch.
Get a jet beer for myself.
Wait, you can.
But, what? I like your skin on your... Okay, anyway, so we want to do mission and objectives today to kind of figure out what we're aiming for, because that'll help guide everything else. So Rob had 3 good questions. Do you want to remind me what those were?
Sure. We should determine and not limit ourselves to these 3 areas, but what the members should expect from the group, what the members should provide to each other, and what the group should provide to the community and the outside world. And if there's a 4th or more area of who should do something for someone else, then we'll probably address that as well.
Okay.
Would you say 3 again?
What the group should provide to the community or the outside world.
Maybe a 4th one is how do we define the boundary between the group and the outside world?
Well,
that's a titchy one.
No, I think that's a very good question. One of the things that has been expressed as a concern thus far is how do you build a sense of community if it's completely open?
Yeah.
Yes.
There has to be some sort of boundary set up in order to, not as an us and them, but as a,
right,
we want you to be a part of this. It takes some work. Is the best way that I would.
And if you want somebody to be part of something, there has to be something to be a part of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's
So the members are going to be expected to pay rent.
Yes, and also volunteer around the space, and I would hope that they would also be creating something in the space. I mean, it's great if someone. Because it's a makerspace, I think it would not suit the ideals of it to just say, if you pay your rent and you do some work around, you can hang out whenever you want.
Yeah, it's not a studio.
Right. You should actually be participating in something, whether it's just helping other people, whether it's working on your own thing.
And there are a lot of ways to create.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to have a narrow definition there.
If there was a leader,
yeah,
group, that would be fine.
And I think
the...
You're
not intentionally making an artifact.
Yeah.
Having some heads
and stuff. And the first 2 are definitely addressable by simple policies, like give us some money and do some stuff. But the 3rd one is generally best supported by social ostracism and peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we should codify it.
The 3rd book... The answer to
the expectation.
Yeah,
you
should actually make stuff. Just having it be not cool to hang out deals with a lot of the people just hanging out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want it to be a comfortable space.
Right. Well, and it's important.
Okay.
I'm a very nonviolent person. It's also important to have people feel that they can be comfortable hanging out and talking and chatting, because that's where so many ideas can come from as well.
Yeah.
Just allowing for surprises.
Yeah.
I think if we have a lot of, like, really, you know, all these tools for creation, and we have all these people creating them,
mm-hmm,
by itself,
mm-hmm, yeah,
make the environment.
Okay.
And I agree about the peer pressure thing, but in a more positive way.
Yeah,
you know,
I meant it facetiously.
Yeah, but just to clarify from the meeting notes, if you see somebody just hanging out and being shy about creating something, you're like, hey, look, here's a project
you
can help me with. If somebody doesn't really know what to do.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't mean anti-shy.
At Bucket Works, they found that if people come and visit and take the tour of the facilities, and they touch something, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as they touch something, that means the pattern, they will come back.
That's
they
awesome.
Will make stuff. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's, to even notice things.
Yeah,
wow.
What
was the name of the place?
Bucket Works.
Cool. my uncle is a mechanical engineer, and when he was thinking about hiring my brother at a place, he obviously, my uncle has incredibly high, obscenely high standards, and he's like, well, I know your family, but I'm not going to hire you unless I know you're going to participate. And so he's giving my brother a tour of the shop floor, and my brother was keeping his hands in his pockets to prevent from touching anything that he didn't understand. And my uncle was like, you need to take your hands out of your pockets and fiddle with things. Just right now. Because if you are not engaging, I can't trust you to be in this space. So that's a personal anecdote for you.
That's awesome.
So we definitely... What do we want to evoke through use of this space? Obviously, participation, I think, is a big one that's... and participation and creation, both together.
I think a bit of the parkour ethic of overcoming barriers would be really neat.
What? What was it?
Just having it be sort of problem-solving oriented and the... Well, like... There's a lot of places that are like, here's a station when you do, you know, one thing here, and here's a station, you do one thing here, and here's a station, you do one thing here. But when there's like a work table in the middle, or even just mm-hmm. places that are multi-use, it facilitates, you know, crossover and problem solving and...
It's flow.
Flow. That's what I want, is flow.
We discussed this a little bit at the last meeting, too, is that there's definitely an emphasis on interdisciplinary... activities, not just limiting yourself like, this is what I do. You know, just do one thing, kind of do everything. Because that's just how it is. Yeah. So I completely agree.
But we said it already.
I would think that we would want to evolve a set of practices based on what we observe, what works, basically a philosophy of, you know, what is working, you know, asking ourselves what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. What's increasing, you know, the enthusiasm and the creativity, what's not. We ask ourselves, if we have a culture of asking these questions, we'll start to make theory. Not dogmatic theories, things that we, you know, go back and test them, you know, if they stop working.
So what else are we hoping to encourage in people? Do we want them to engage more in their community? Do we want them to learn how to better relate to other people?
I would like to encourage resource sharing.
Okay.
And to maybe have places where people can post, hey, I have this extra stuff, or hey, I need this bit and that bit for a project, or I don't know how to do this. Is there mm-hmm. someone out here who can teach, or I have this skill and I'm willing to teach? Like mm-hmm. having those bits also available.
Yeah. So more of tutoring, because while I really like the free school, I can't fit it into my schedule.
One-on-one is also like hands-on, that's mm-hmm. sometimes the only way to. And it just as you grow the community, it's going to be more people who have maybe a niche that isn't recognized and you don't know that they know how to do it. And mm-hmm. if there's a way to easily publicize it, that means more people networking with each other, mm-hmm. problem solving, and less, you know, clicks forming, basically.
We don't want clicks.
Do we want to evoke any sense of... I don't have the exact phrasing here, but it's really easy to put together communities where actually financially supporting oneself as an artist is frowned on. And I'm thinking the opposite of that, a community that encourages, actively encourages each artist's or maker's process of figuring out how to sell what they're doing in a way that is sustainable.
Self-sufficiency.
Yeah, anytime you go co-op, you have a little bit of that anti-capitalism thing, potentially.
Yeah, a spirit of self-sufficiency and entrepreneurship and encouraging each other in their entrepreneurship.
Right.
I would also like to emphasize sustainability. I would love it if we could have a garden, if we could have like people that obviously that we pull from a bunch of different stuff, even if we're...
On the roof.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, if we can... I would really like it if we could do huge potlucks and whatever is left over, we feed to people or we encourage people to that don't have food to come and eat it. But I would also really like that any thing that we bring in is something that was otherwise going to be tossed out. And not necessarily anything, but...
I mean, if we're in a kitchen.
No, but I mean as far as, like, tools and benches and stuff like that, because that will also encourage people to realize that you can make new stuff out of old stuff.
Use found objects.
Yeah, and you can have a critical mass of scrap in the same way that you can have a critical mass of people willing to work together.
Yeah.
Compost pile, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Compost, recycling.
I don't want to go so far as a... some gray water systems go really far. I think it would be nice to do some of that, but I also think that...
Sometimes,
flushing the toilet at least twice a day is a good idea.
Yeah. Sometimes anarchists are sneaky.
We love them dearly.
Love them.
Now, that's
but we
sad.
Want to encourage the community sometimes.
Said, I'm a huge fan of composting toilets.
Yeah, but those are also very expensive unless we figure out how to build one, which I'm totally up for. But if we're also in a warehouse, it's going to be difficult to install one.
Yes.
If you're over concrete.
Yes. What have we figured out about Seattle and zoning, and how much stuff can we do under one roof, and where is the best?
That's kind of going to come up in
okay.
a later meeting,
because
I'm supposed to research that, and I haven't yet.
But it's also good to bring it up so that
we
know about it. We'll just not spend a lot of time on it. I also want to foster mutual respect and starting conversation. That's one of the ideas that I really... have kind of focused on is the not having walls that go all the way up. I mean, it's nice if you have quiet space and recording space and all that other stuff, but it bothers me that in Seattle it's impolite to eavesdrop because I hear a lot of really cool conversations that I want to join in on. And I think that if you're respecting other people, then that also includes being involved with them on some mental level.
I'd really like if we could build a wood-fired brick oven on the premises somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
In a more general sense, this is just a question. To what degree should we encourage or not bringing ideas to completion and actually producing work versus doing something for the sake of doing it, even if it doesn't produce something that ends up being useful, even if the process itself...
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Or is that not for the group to decide?
I think there's a model of that the Cult of Done.
Yeah, I was going
to
bring that up.
A really neat way to implement the Cult of Done, I think, would be... I know I've been all about the bulletin boards, but, like, having a board where you have people put up their projects and say, here's what I've done, whether it's on the internet or on a piece of paper. And then when somebody walks in and gets a tour, they can see, and here are all the projects people have actually completed. And that's sort of... That would be really motivating for me to get a project done, just so that then I could be like, yes, I did it.
And I think that that is... if we get to the point that that we can have presentation and invite people in and, like, once a month say, here's our show and tell of what we've done, then that really encourages that. I want to distinguish right now an objective that I would like is this growing to the size that we need a warehouse space. I do not think that when we start, it is a wise idea to start that big. Because that is a huge financial risk that most of us
frankly, do not have
the ability to do right now. So I think that while we're talking about all this stuff, we should define that as an objective, something that we want to obtain, but not our starting point. Because as much as when I'm talking to people and they seem like they're really into the idea and really involved, that doesn't always carry through for 3 to 6 months to the year that you would be signing a lease for. And so that's why I think it's important to start with a smaller group. And this is something that we'll talk more about with the logistics meeting. But I think that it would also help to develop... and solidify the mission and the ideal of what the group is. Does that make sense?
Very much so.
Okay. So.
And I think it's a very good place to be is having more people really passionately interested in being involved than physically have the resources
mm-hmm.
to fit, because that creates a big stimulus for everyone who's passionate about it to illustrate that through helping it grow.
Right.
Also, if someone were to drop out, it would be helpful if there was
yep.
a waitlist.
Right, not like that famous thing where you have one roommate that's not paying rent.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the whole thing tanks.
Honestly, that may be another objective to put in there, is to have, for us to have, always have a waitlist. Because if there's a waitlist, that is financial stability for when people drop out.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe to get in, you need to have someone else lined up to take your place, or is that a little too...
I don't think that's necessarily in the spirit of inclusion.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to reconcile a waitlist. Like, everybody should be able to be in the space if
they
want. And I feel a little different. I would try to always have a space, an open slot that's not being used.
Yeah, what if you had... Oh, sorry.
There's not much more than that.
What if you had... workspace that was communal, that the group had, where you everybody worked, and then not even with cubicle walls, but just like benches that could be rented out.
I would think more of a timing thing, where it's like 6 days out of the week it's for the members, and one extra day of the week it's whoever wants to drop in is welcome to. We would love to have you in the space. Or have a guesting system where you're allowed to bring a guest in so many hours per month, maybe, I don't know. I think that gets back into logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I just really want to talk about...
We probably can't imagine what will work and what won't
yeah.
at this point. I mean,
yeah.
We're going to get there and then find out.
That's not the way it goes.
We'll try a lot of different things and see what works.
Yeah. So, going back, what do you guys want from this space? What is it to you? I mean, who wants to start with that?
Well, in practical terms, I want a kitchen that's up to health code, so all I need is my business license. I can sell food legally. In more philosophical terms, some place to share my creations with, some place to get ideas for other things to do, and then. To whatever other degree that I can contribute. I mean, I dance. I don't know that I'm qualified to give lessons in that, but if there was an opportunity for that. I know there's some things I'd like to learn gardening. I'd like to learn yoga or to have a place to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it as, what I want is a place to provide where I can provide
yeah.
and also obtain those things I want to obtain. I mean, just that's self-evident.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. And, why... This is a difficult question that I've been asking myself, and hopefully when you guys also answer that same question of what are you looking for in this space, why do you need this space in order to do it? Like, why... Obviously, for the kitchen, that's
sure.
a very tangible thing, but why do we need a separate space... and putting time and money and energy into it instead of just doing it with the homes and the spaces that we have now, such as Saturday House. Like, why do we need a specific space?
I need a place where I can make loud projects happen, and in Seattle it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to use drills and hammers and things.
Mm-hmm.
And second is, I want to not be a spectacle. I mean, I don't mind being seen, but if I'm going to be doing acrobatics, I don't always want to be showing off in the park. Like, sometimes you just want a place where that's what you do and other people are doing their thing.
Privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not even a feeling of like no one can see me, it's just...
It's
you're
safe
here.
To be seen.
It's safe to be seen, yeah. And you're not always like, oh, look at the people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. And, and then there's just that part of when you pay for a thing or when you invest in a thing, it's easier to complete. Like, I don't pay for fiddle lessons because just because they're making me better. I pay for it because it shames me into practicing every day.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It's true. And so, if I have a space, it shames me into finishing my projects, and I really like that.
Okay. Ben?
Building off of that, a really huge one for me, and I know we've talked about this in various forums before, but it's having... I work better when I'm around other people who are working. And sitting alone in my house every day, trying to keep myself motivated to get another chapter done on the novel, write two more characters for the murder mystery, work on editing the web series, work on another business plan, just stay motivated, sitting all there, just sitting in a dark basement, versus being surrounded by people who are doing interesting things, like can take a break, can toss ideas around, can feel like I'm not working in a vacuum, where I'm working in a community that values that active making process. And I know that that would do amazing things to my productivity.
Okay. Fine.
The obvious one's tools. Nobody said tools yet.
Yeah.
The obvious one's tools. The community crossings, sort of pretty much what you just said. The solidarity around the values of creativity and making that. There's a feeling there. It's more easily experienced when it's shared. Community practice network effects. A lot of people, they really, really want to become someone who makes and does all these things, but they don't know how. I mean, there's a million details from the mundane to the technical to the access to tools to philosophy and just how do we get into action. A lot of people want to do this because they, you know, some chinks in there are just lost and missing. So.
Yeah. Baron, what do you want out of it?
I was actually going to say exactly what you just said. There are so many of the people that I know look at what I do from hardcore to making and say, oh, I wish I could do that. And want a space where people can go there and just do something. And take it from that, I wish I could, to having a space where there's a community that says, okay, what do you want to do? We can help you. We can help you do that. Like, we won't do it for you, but we will give you the tools and the knowledge and the expertise necessary so you can learn how to do it yourself. And being a part of that community, like Ben said, I've experienced this a lot in the hardcore community. Being a part of that community is a very amazing and energizing experience. And it really, really gives you the drive to get things done.
Along the lines of having a space that motivates you, I think the reason I feel it's important to have a separate space instead of just doing this, I think Saturday House is a fantastic idea of going from house to house, but my house is where I relax. It's where I finally, you know, I'm not at a meeting that I put together. I'm not at work. I'm not out at parkour. I'm not in a space where I'm creating things. It's my one safe haven where my brain can kind of shut down a little bit. And I'm also very much into physical manifestations of ideas. Because I think that we are creatures of symbols, and that is how we understand the world. And so if you have a space where that is the designation of that space, just that in and of itself is very powerful.
Yes.
And what I want from it is a sense of community that I have gotten closer to in Seattle, that certainly does not exist in the Midwest, does not exist on the East Coast, that I've found little pockets of on the West Coast. But even those have been kind of clicky and very discipline specific. They're still fantastic, they're better than the alternative, but I want people to talk to each other. I don't, I mean, I do some physical stuff, like, just, I don't, I'm not very creative for a starting point. I'm good at figuring something out after I know what the starting points are, but I'm not like, oh, I'm going to build this thing that no one has ever seen before. It's, well, we could solve that in a way that no one has ever seen before, but that's just the way that my mind works, and if I am around other people that are creating things, then I like helping them if they let me. So that's what I want.
Can I read a vision paragraph that I wrote this afternoon?
Only if I can read Cult of Dunn to you afterwards.
Right, Cult of Dunn, but...
Okay.
I'm going to read it again. Right, yeah. At any given time, there are 50 to 100 people in the building creating myriad different things. The calendar is always almost full, but we're careful to leave space for new things that are trying to emerge. The people are making sculptures, clubs, murals, and exotic structures. People are making tools to aid in making new tools, atoms, bits, and neurons, all in full effect. The place has a magical genius all of its own. Storytellers read the universe, and people arrange themselves in geometries of harmony. Events are held, and jewelries are bought and sold. The chambers are themed, made, and remade, vortices around excited moments. There's a quiet room of careful, silent reflection, a face in the mirror with the eyes open, temple artistry on the walls. Suggestions are made. It's real if it happened. Mathematical structures and signs mark the floors and children's hopscotch. They will be swept away in a week's time, replaced by a diagram of evolution that will be swept away in a week's time, replaced with a floor plan for a reenactment of the Golden Key by a local school troupe theater troupe.
Is everyone here familiar with Cult of Dunn?
I am not.
I will read it for Rob then.
It's a good reminder.
And because I like it so much. There are three states of being: not knowing, action, and completion. Except that everything is a draft, it helps to get it done. There is no editing stage. Pretending you know what you're doing is almost the same as knowing what you are doing, so just accept that you know what you're doing, even if you don't, and do it. Banish procrastination. If you wait more than a week to get an idea done, abandon it. The point of being done is not to finish, but to get other things done. Once you're done, you can throw it away. Laugh at perfection. It's boring and keeps you from being done. People without dirty hands are wrong. Doing something makes you right. Failure counts as done. So do mistakes. Destruction is a variant of done. You have an idea. If you have an idea and publish it on the internet, that counts as a ghost of done. And the last one is done is the engine of more.
Last one's my favorite.
Yes. My favorite is the doing something makes you right.
Destruction.
So. Who's setting things on fire?
See, that's what I like about cooking and dancing. Because they're both ephemeral. But you cook, you make a meal. Then you eat it. Maybe it didn't come out right. Tomorrow you cook another one.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing. You dance with someone for 3 minutes, give them your undivided attention. Mm-hmm. Then you go on to the next one. Over and over. A dozen times.
Yeah. Also, with cooking, if you plan for more than a week, the food gets kind of awkward.
Yeah. But I you know, for years and years, I would get these ideas, I'd start projects, and never get them done. And now it's like I accomplish things bit by bit, constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to-do lists, and when I make them, I always do write down one or two things that I've already accomplished that day before I made my list, so I can just be like, and I'm done with that. So,
I do the opposite. I put one impossible thing on my to-do list so I don't have to be intimidated by it.
It's a good thing to do.
You start crossing things off your list.
That was impossible. How did I do that?
Why the unicorn? Where did I put it?
Yeah. I'm doing that right now. For tomorrow.
So, going back to the... So we just talked about what we want for ourselves and kind of what we want for the group. How do you want this to feed back into the community? Not even specifics, because then we're going to get back into
logistics.
What do you think is important for this to do for Seattle?
Well, wherever we end up, what we should, the neighborhood should want us to be there. We should exist in such a way that our neighbors are pleased to have us. I guess that's self-evident. That's just being a good neighbor.
I think it'd be really, really cool if once a month, instead of doing volunteer work on our own space, we picked a place to do community service. Like, say there was a theater that needed some work, and we happen to have people who know, like, carpentry and lighting and this and that and the other, and then we all descend for, like, one evening on the space. Or there's, like, a food kitchen that needs some resources and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of cool to...
I like that.